if you're a good agent or a good person doing your very best in your industry, just record that. Just talk about that. Because people, like I said, they like to see people being genuine. They like to see people being a little bit vulnerable. So instead of trying to figure out how can I look good today, just start recording how your day actually looks. When you're talking to a buyer, see if you can record that conversation, for example. When you're meeting with an owner, ask if you can record that conversation. You're not doing anything special. You're doing your job. But people are interested to know, how does it look behind the scenes? What do you do once you're in the office? How do you speak when you talk to buyers? It's not hard to create content when you're doing content all day, every day.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology, and more to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. What does your brand say about you? Is it an accurate reflection of your mission statement, or is it an afterthought that might be holding you back more than you know? My guests this week are Adam Bryan and Bobby Reynolds from Agency Central in Wilton in the Wollondilly Shire, located just near the bustling M7 corridor of New South Wales. That's about 80 kilometres southwest of the Sydney CBD. These guys know a thing or two about marketing, the power of a personal brand, and they take a unique approach to the way they work with their community, which appears to be really working for them. They also have their own successful podcast called Behind the Suits, which of course prompted us to ask them to come in and share some of their content marketing secrets with us. So welcome to the show, Adam and Bobby.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
It's actually great to have you guys in the studio. I sort of feel like I'm dealing with a couple of rock stars.
You're not.
It's like the opposite. We thought we're dealing with a rock star here. This is great being here.
You've got more episodes. We're going to catch up.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not hard when you're doing one a week. So you guys both started about 4 years ago. How did you find yourselves in real estate?
I was a personal trainer before I was a real estate agent. And a guy that I worked for at a gym in Revesby, so like 20 minutes, 30 minutes out of the Sydney CBD, he was a property investor and he earned the same terrible money that I earned, but he had like an 8 or 9 property portfolio, and he was always trying to get me to read these books and you got to be interested in property, and he chipped away. So I started talking about it to everyone, and that's when a few people were like, mate, you don't shut up about this. Why don't you try selling real estate? That's how I got into it.
For me, I've kind of always really liked sales. My first business, I was 9 years old and I started a car washing business, you know, so I've been selling stuff since I was really young. It was funny though, because real estate, I didn't really ever think about doing that. I was actually going to all of a sudden out of nowhere, go the blue collar out and do bricklaying or something like that. And it was actually the director that we're working with now who called me up and said, nah, that's not for you. You're born to be in sales. So come talk to me. We'll talk about you being in real estate, and the rest is history. I can't see myself doing anything else now, for sure.
So you were a personal trainer. Were there any sort of transferable skills that came with you?
I think so. I think it's people. That's it. When you're a personal trainer, you're not really health and fitness. You're not really training people. They're venting to you and you're dealing with people in a stressful scenario that want change. So that was probably where I started dealing with people and learning that side of things. That's been the best carryover, but also I suppose habits that allow me to be super energetic for 12, 13, 14 hours a day. I'm up early, I train, I'm a lunatic all day, and then I'm excited to do it, you know.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, so there's good habits from it, and there's probably good people skills that I took from that.
I was going to say there would be a parallel, at least when you think if you're a personal trainer, you tell someone to do certain things, and if they don't do all of it, then they don't get the results that they thought. And it must be the same in real estate too.
Similar, no sugarcoating, just honesty.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what people need.
You ran a small business, didn't you, Bobby?
I did, yeah.
So what skills did you bring with you into the business, other than obviously being a gifted salesperson?
Well, thank you for that. For my business, it's going to sound funny, it was called the Australian Beer Pong League, and it was like a party events thing that we'd done with pubs and clubs across Australia. So I had to sell this concept to pubs and clubs that they've never heard of, so I had to get them excited about it. And I feel like when I'm talking to buyers about buying a house, I have to get them excited about buying the house as well. I think the most transferable thing from that is having excitement when you're trying to sell something, but also getting a chance to run a business really gets you to ride the highs and lows of work life. The highs are so good, the lows are pretty horrible, but I think it's worth it because at the end of the day, it's all you. If you put the effort in, you're going to get those rewards. And when you have those tough days, it just makes you remember, look, if I keep going down this road, I'm not going to get what I want, kind of thing. I like it. It's a bit of a roller coaster, like I said, having your own business, but it's fun. It makes all the hard work worth it when you're doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about Agency Central and how that was conceived.
We were at a company and there was a few agents from a different company as well. Essentially, when they were conceptualizing the idea, we chased them down and they were going to have one office. We asked, hey, look, let us be in on the business. Let us run this office. Go in this area as well. We think it's a great area. We think it's an up-and-coming area. So we sort of like begged and pleaded to have our own office. You know, go on.
In the last business we were in, we didn't really get to share too much of our own thoughts in terms of how we want to run a business. We had lots of ideas, but when they were kind of falling on deaf ears, it was a little frustrating for us. We felt confident that if we do things like start a podcast and things like that, we'll definitely get a lot more traction, a lot more people noticing us, but just never really eventuated in the last business. So to have our own company now, our own office, it feels great to have free reign to do whatever we want, have the trust obviously of the directors above us, but they just said, you guys are doing great, no reason to stop you now, whatever you want to do, go for it. So that's great.
So tell us a bit about the area that you service, because that M7 area is kind of going nuts right now.
Yeah,
so it's central to a few things. Campbelltown and Liverpool area is just north of where we are, and they want that to be quite, I suppose, central to Badgerys Creek Airport, which will be a little bit further west. Towards the coastline is Wollongong, and then just down south is the Southern Highlands Barrel area. So they're trying to blood up Wilton, where we are now, to sort of be the centre of all of that.
It's a long way away. I mean, in terms of the plans for it, it's 15, 20 years away. But the idea for us is to establish ourselves now in that area. So obviously, as that area grows and booms in the next decade, we've already established ourselves as the agents or the authority agents in the area. Mm. It's a little slower now than what it's going to be in the future and a little slower than where we were beforehand.
We're in no rush.
Yeah, we're here for the long haul, so we're ready for it for sure.
Absolutely. And when the airport comes online, It is going to go pretty crazy down there. You've gone out on your own. Mm-hmm. You're very young and ambitious. Are you scared at all at the thought of going out on your own?
Yeah. Anyone that says no, are they lying? Or
yeah, I'd be lying. I'd be lying if I wasn't, because there's no certainty in it. If we don't bust our butts and do well, then the lights don't stay on. The doors don't stay open. There's a bit of fear with that, but there's a bit of excitement with the fear as well. If there's no challenge to it, then it's no real fun.
It's definitely nervous, exciting starting a business. But as Adam said, I think the fact that we've got almost like control of it, we know that we are in control of our destinies right now. So it's up to us. If we want this to be successful, we can do it. We just got to put our butts down and really work hard as possible.
You're starting out, what do you do to start building your brand down there in such a competitive area? Because there's a lot of agents down there.
There are a lot of agents in the area. For us, I think it's really great. We're in a spot called Bingara Gorge, which is like an exclusive golf estate, and we're the only office in that area. So that's about 700 to 800 houses within just that suburb. So the first thing we done is we really wanted to make sure that we can introduce ourselves to the neighborhood. We realized it's a pretty tight-knit community, and all we done was knock on everyone's door and hand out a business card. A lot of people do the whole, I'm not interested in selling, and we say straight back to them, we're not interested in kicking you out. In fact, we don't know why you want to leave this area. So beautiful. And instantly they're like, all right, great, I can let my guard down. Plus, he clearly likes the area as well. From there, I think it's just been about giving as much to the community as possible. We haven't asked for anything. Nothing. We haven't asked for contact details from people apart from their first name. We don't know their last name. We don't know much more other than what we've kind of conversed about at the front door. The idea behind that is we want them to feel as comfortable as possible with us. So the next time we knock on their door, they know we're not here to try and get them to sell their house again. It's crazy because people actually come out to us and they talk to us for 5-10 minutes, and that's all we want, really.
It's funny you say that, because that never actually occurred to me that a real estate agent might make someone feel like they've got to move.
Straight away.
Yeah. Yes. If we don't want to sell anything, that's all right. That's fine.
We just want to get people to know about us.
Yeah.
If they need to sell, hopefully if they know about us, they'll at least get in touch. I mean, this is a long-term plan, of course, but I think just initially, just to get out there and for people to know about us, that's the best start.
And that's, I suppose, the main face-to-face component of what we did. We focused on three things. If that was the face-to-face component of our prospecting. The other side of our prospecting had to be just calling buyers. So that's where a lot of our phone focus goes. We didn't have anyone else to call. It's a brand new business, brand new company, so there's no database of people to call. Let's call buyers. The door knocking that Bobby said, which was a bit, I suppose, warmer and just introducing ourselves, that was our prospecting component. The second component was largely community-based.
Massively.
As Bobby said, the place that we're set is a really tight-knit community. And we're also part of Michael Sheargold's network, so he helped us out with a few strategies. But essentially, we have that area and two other areas that we focus on. The area that we're focused on, we're just so involved in that community. We volunteer at the school. We're teaching kids how to read. We're sponsoring football teams and sporting teams and things like that. We've got deals and agreements with the cafe, but we're there having coffee every day as well. So we're actually showing a time. And I think people prefer that. If you're going to sponsor a school, be there. Don't just throw $2,000 at them and go, well, now you owe me listings. Go and actually put in the groundwork. So that community involvement was the second aspect. And the third aspect that we wanted to focus on was a really, really strong personal brand. So via social media, whatever you want to call it, seeing our signboards, all these different little factors, almost like your little celebrity in our little suburb.
Micro-fame.
Yeah.
Micro-fame.
Those three areas were the areas that we wanted to focus on to start building our brand because we started from scratch.
I remember Tom Ferry talked about it a little bit at ARIC last year, having multiple fishing lines in when you're out in the boat. So you've got your door knocking to get to know the people in the community. You've got calling people. You've got the schools where you're getting to know the parents and all that sort of thing. And then in addition to that, you guys are very strong on social media. So I actually got the warning on Instagram that you're on your way in.
Oh, wow.
Right.
On your Instagram
story. Yeah, we're
story.
Not subtle.
Yeah.
There was a lot of activity here. Oh, God, the boys are on their way.
Yeah.
How did you go about building that social media presence in the beginning?
I guess that'll be one of the things I was talking about. In the last business, we didn't really get to have our own profile. I feel if most people are looking at social media, they're looking at social media for entertainment. Like they're looking to see what's happening with their friends or catching up with people that they like or follow or things like that as well. So for us, we really wanted to make sure that we're not just, I don't want to say it in a mean way, but a lot of agency out there are just putting up their listing, isn't that it?
Yeah,
here's another listing. Here's another listing. Here's a just sold. And that is so far away from what you're actually meant to be doing. I'm good on them for giving it a try, but there's a much different aspect to social media, in my opinion, anyway. We've got three buckets, we call it, three buckets that we want to fill up. And so long as we're filling up those three buckets evenly, we feel like social media-wise, we're doing everything that we have to do. Essentially, the three buckets, the first one would be education, teaching people about real estate. The second would be entertainment, making sure people are having fun while they're watching us. And the third thing will be social proof as well. So they can see that, yes, we're fun people. Yes, we know what we're talking about, but we can also do our job properly too.
So you've really taken the approach, if I could summarise it, that the traditional real estate methods of prospecting are the ones that you focus on offline, but then online, because you're competing with dog videos and all that sort of thing, that you might as well be entertaining to actually build that brand rather than trying to do the just listed, just sold.
Have to be. When you look at the engagement difference between I just listed this, and there's nothing wrong with telling people you just listed something. As I said, that's one third of what we do is that social proof side of things, but maybe there's a story about it. Maybe there's a different way to do it. Maybe there's something you can show of yourself at a video shoot or a photo shoot. Clearly, you've got a new listing. You're not taking photos of strangers' houses for the fun of it. Maybe it's outtakes of the video. You're showing people you've got a new listing, but you're not saying to your friends and family and a few followers on Facebook, hey, come and buy this place and letting it grow from there, because that's not what they're there for. They'll go on realestate.com for that.
I find these days people do like to be on social media from a company point of view to see things that they're not going to see in the perfect world, the behind the scenes and this is how we got to this very good looking video and things like that. Like we all want a little window into what's really going on.
A bit of vulnerability.
Yeah, 100% vulnerability, because we're all human. Like no one is perfect. And I think, you know, it's a little unfortunate in that Instagram world where a lot of people are putting up all the perfect posts all the time and people are getting over that now. There's like psychological problems with people now because of that. So we're just trying to be as real as possible, show people that we're not perfect. We try very hard to be, but I think the vulnerability is a massive thing, showing people that you're just like them, except we're in real estate. Yeah. That's the only difference.
No, I agree with you. I aspire to be Celeste Barber once. So let's talk about your podcast. That's quite a different thing for agents to actually have the podcast that's been very successful. And it's called Behind the Suits, which I love. It's sort of like almost a...
play on words.
You know, that was the first name we came up with. We're like, what should we call it? And Adam goes, Behind the Suits instead of Behind the Scenes. I'm like, did you just come up with that? And he's like, just then.
So you look a bit like Harvey and Mike too.
Okay.
All right. You reference like I'm Mike. That's all right.
No, I'm Harvey.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's what hurt.
Sorry, mate.
We'll cut that.
Thank you for my sake.
So first of all, why did you decide on a podcast?
Essentially, when I met Bobby, we started in the industry at a similar time. And his concept was, look, real estate agents don't have the best name. Let's change that by giving excellent service one person at a time. My idea was more like, why only one person at a time? There's brilliant real estate agents that I've met, that I see what they do. They're inspirational in terms of how organized they are, how genuine they are, how hard they work. There's things like that that the masses don't see because there's a handful that spoil it for everyone. So we wanted to design a podcast that was for consumers of real estate agents as opposed to for real estate agents, so that if people consume the podcast and start to get better at how to buy and sell from real estate agents, then maybe real estate agents will have to be better in order to win the business. And if those real estate agents that are lacking are a little better, then you stop hearing the stories that everyone's got about real estate agents. There's a vast majority of them that are amazing, and a handful that spoil it for everyone.
We thought it was kind of crazy. We were really shocked, actually, when we actually had the idea of doing this podcast and giving some information, some education to the people out there. We can't believe that no other agent has done that. No other agent in Australia has done that. It's great that we're the first. We feel like a lot of other agents are going to catch on and start doing it as well.
Hopefully.
We don't see that as a bad thing. That's great because, as Adam said, that's going to educate the masses a lot more, and they're not going to fall for the tricks that the sleazy agents do. But yeah, the fact that we're actually providing content to consumers of real estate rather than real estate agents sets us a little bit different from the rest, I feel, of the podcast. And there's nothing else out there like it. Hopefully we get a little bit more traction and a little bit more people kind of get to learn about Behind the Suits, then that's only going to be better for not only the real estate industry, but the people working within it as well.
Absolutely. So I know what goes into creating this podcast every week, and it's kind of
a lot of work
evolved over time.
Yep.
So what about you guys? Was it difficult to set up?
Because we did want to see ourselves as like a little media company, I took on the responsibility of the podcast because that was my passion, and Bobby took on the responsibility of the vlog because he enjoys the video side of things. It probably takes about 2.5 to 3 hours of my week, but essentially we didn't want to let content or progress be stopped by the pursuit of perfection. We didn't want to have this perfect show. I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan's podcasts, and that's probably one of the bigger podcasts in the world. If you go back and listen to episode one, it's terrible. It's terrible. He's doing okay now. He's got millions of subscribers, things, and he's made his show better over time. Like we were talking about, he's constantly adding layers and adapting to what you'd like your show to be.
Yeah.
But at the start, we just didn't want anything to get in the way of it. So it probably takes me about 3 hours a week by the way of prepping an episode, recording an episode, editing and uploading an episode. But in terms of the initial, I suppose, hardware, software that we needed, that took half a day to go and get that stuff, and then we're ready.
It's really not that hard. So if agents are out there thinking about doing it, but like, oh, it seems like a lot of effort, take it from us. It really isn't.
It's all online, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And I think the hardest part is just doing it, because once you've got the idea behind it, you know, we have a lot of content already lined up. We feel like we could have 80 episodes ready to go at least. So it's exciting to know that we don't really have to think too much about what to talk about next. We just have to think about how we're going to portray that over a podcast.
Where does the content ideas come from?
Well, we just think about if we were purchasing real estate or if we were a typical vendor, what are some of the things that we would like to know?
Or a buyer.
Or a buyer. Yeah, exactly right. Just anyone consuming real estate. And then really just kind of put ourselves in those shoes. How would they feel if in this situation, if an agent said this to you at the table, how are you meant to interpret that? How do you know if they're telling the truth or not? Are there any things that you can say back to your agent? There's information out there. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of information out there for consumers online to see how can I help. You can just type it into Google and people better help with that. But we're just trying to do something different. And I think the idea is Behind the Suits, behind the scenes, we know all the tricks of the trade. We've seen it, unfortunately. We've heard it, unfortunately, from other people. So we hope that no one would have to experience those bad experiences. Someone else had to go through that for us to hear or learn about it. But hopefully their bad experience will stop anyone else in the future from having to deal with that.
Yeah, I think that's mostly where it comes from. Stories and case studies. What have we heard? How do we stop that from happening?
So obviously you guys spend a lot of time, and let's call it content marketing, because I would call the stuff that you do on, even though it's not on your website, it's still content marketing.
For sure.
You guys obviously think of your life as content. If someone said to you, this content marketing stuff is absolute nonsense, how would you respond to that?
Well, put it this way, I've got a little camera on the side of the room right here, right now. I'm recording content as we speak. So the idea is I'm making content without even trying right now.
Mm.
I think people are just making excuses. You do have to put a little bit of work in. The problem that most people have is that they just can't figure out exactly what they're going to do next. If you're a good agent or a good person doing your very best in your industry, just record that. Just talk about that. Because people, like I said, they like to see people being genuine. They like to see people being a little bit vulnerable. So instead of trying to figure out how can I look good today, just start recording how your day actually looks. When you're talking to a buyer, see if you can record that conversation, for example. When you're meeting with an owner, ask if you can record that conversation. You're not doing anything special. You're doing your job. But people are interested to know, how does it look behind the scenes? What do you do once you're in the office? How do you speak when you talk to buyers? It's not hard to create content when you're doing content all day, every day.
Yeah, I think a lot of the hesitation for people as well is this, what am I getting from this? Because reality is we've started a podcast, we put hours a week into it. I couldn't come to you and say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars that's come into our business because we're doing the podcast. All I can say is that in 5 years' time, if you were to look and there's a catalog of dozens of podcasts, a whole heap of blogs that we've done, vlogs, you know who I am. If you were doing your research and you'd met us at the door, and we were polite, we didn't ask for anything. And then when you decided you're going to sell your home, you had a look at three agents and you looked at our content and then you looked at somebody who wasn't doing that, it just immediately feels like, oh, well, this is a little bit more. More is more, you know, in people's minds from that perspective. The other thing that we liked from a podcast standpoint is we can actually use it before we see somebody. Now, if we speak to somebody and they say, hey, we're thinking of selling, blah, 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 our main concern is X. Okay, that's fine. We'll see on Friday, as we said, but I'll send you through a link to the podcast as well. Episode 7 is on X. I think it might be really helpful for you. Now, if they listen to that before they see three agents, if any of those agents say something helpful that's similar to the podcast, they're just the agents that are copying the podcast. So they're the agents that are copying the experts where they heard it first, which is on a podcast. And for whatever reason, people think you got to earn the podcast, like you can't just go and start one by buying a microphone and having a go. So in that way, if you're going to allow yourself to use it to be an expert, to be positioned as an authority before you even get into a door, that's where we're starting to find a bit of separation. When people in a notice board on Facebook will say, hey, thinking of selling my property, any recommendations for a real estate agent, instead of saying, hey, I'd love to help, hey, I'd love to help, hey, I'd love to help, and then you all of a sudden you see, hey, looking forward to helping out however I can. In the meantime, before we catch up, check out the podcast. There might be something helpful there. It just separates you. So when they do their research, you're different. That's it.
I think something else important to remember as well is that, as Adam said, we can't say for sure if we've sold or listed property because of the podcast, but we just feel for us, it's a long-term game. We understand that one day there will be an opportunity to do that, but if we give up or if we stop, that's just not going to happen.
We did have that guy, one of our directors, he was catching an Uber. He was on a bike ride and it started raining, so he called an Uber and was catching an Uber back to home. The guy that picked him up, they were chatting, that he's an Uber driver, he's also an accountant. Oh, that's cool, whereabouts here in this area? Oh, we just started a real estate office called Agency Central. He's like, Agency Central?
We ever heard that?
Is that one agency? He said, no, it's different, it's Agency Central, we just started. He said, no, I've heard of that. He goes, wait, I know. Opens up on his car and starts playing our podcast. No idea who this guy is. We're one in a million chance of ever calling him, knocking on his door, right? But if he ever does anything, we now have a slightly better chance at getting a foot in the door, 100%.
It's kind of like Tom Panos says, it's not about who you know, but who knows you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If they know you before you know them, then, yeah, you should be in a
micro
good spot.
Fame. We're going to be little celebrities in the area that we are.
I love that word, micro fame. So what's next for you guys?
Pretty simply, consistency from here in execution. Our plan is pretty specific in terms of over the next 9 years, the teams that we want to bring into our business, the areas that we want to have number one market share in, the numbers that we want to write in that regard. And we're very much on track, given that it's only 5 months into our business. So we've just got to be consistent with those three things we were talking about before in order to get business, which was the face-to-face prospecting, the calls,
community,
the personal branding, and the community involvement.
Yep.
Aside from that, we're obviously right into how we look after our clients. They're sick of hearing from us. That's how much we talk to them, but at least they know what's going on. We just got to keep doing that. In a few years, we want to bring on a team and we want to say, hey, this is exactly the blueprint to become number one in this area. Let's go do it in this area. And we've got two more areas we want to do that for. And then we want to go to Hawaii. And,
nah. In terms of what's next, it's exactly what we're doing. We'll keep doing the podcast every 2 weeks. We'll keep doing the vlog every month. Like Adam said, I think consistency is massive. A lot of people, they give it a go and good on them. But then when it doesn't get that immediate traction, they give up. And it's understandable because they feel like they put a lot of time into it and they got nothing out of it. My advice to anyone that's considering it or even has given it a shot, don't worry about this episode. Don't worry about the 10th episode. Think about the 100th episode. And you're only going to get to the 100th episode if you do the 99 before it. So stay consistent, trust in the process, keep at it, and one day it will definitely pay off.
Guys, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Cheers.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.